We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Sounds like diarrhea to me.
K-Rock.
We just moved studios, so this is our first day here.
Yeah.
You got a new house.
Yes.
Are you sleeping there yet?
No.
Okay.
We are like a few days away from the bed being delivered.
Okay.
Which is always, you know, but then you deliver piece by piece in your car. You're like, I'm not going to drive out there and not bring something. So you bring like a couple pairs of shoes.
Yeah. And a random plant.
It's just an empty house with a few shoes in it.
Yeah.
It's like the saddest way to live.
Yeah.
But it did trigger me remembering the last time I moved. Had one of the most horrifying experiences, not only that I've ever experienced, that I've ever heard.
Okay.
And it involves, you know what Rumspringa is?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So it involves a woman on Rumspringa who, in my opinion, is the most terrifying person I've ever met.
If people don't know what Rumspringa is.
In the Amish religion, or in the belief system, you're given a small amount of time to leave the religion and do all the crazy stuff you want to do.
Live it up.
And live it up, and then come back and not feel any of the effects. It's like white people with spring break.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you could come back and just join your normal life. Mm-hmm. Or I guess it's like weird white dudes at Burning Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come back, live your normal life, but while you're there, it's almost its own universe.
Right.
So I'm moving things from my apartment at the time down to my car, and I'm moving things piece by piece, and I look over and I see what looks like a child from far in a dress, in a kind of paper dress.
Okay.
And she's sort of wiping her hand against a car, and I realize it looks like a child waiting for their dad, like, Dad, I'm at the car, that kind of thing. So I go back inside. Nothing bothers me. Walk back outside. Now I see the daughter, this young child, sitting on the top of a car. Like sitting on it, but still like, Dad, come on! Taking forever. I go back inside, no problems. Walk back down. Now this child has moved very much closer to me. Now he's about 20 feet away from me and is talking to someone on a balcony.
Okay.
Another apartment's balcony. And I'm looking over, and she turns around and catches eyes with me, and I realize this isn't a child.
No.
this is like a 45-year-old woman in a paper dress.
Oh.
I also realize she's wearing gloves of some sorts and has something in her hand.
Oh, God.
What?
Yeah. And now the people on the balcony, one yells, don't let her go! And the other yells, run away!
Oh, that's
so
a choice.
I've been given.
Wait, they were saying that to you?
To me. And it's a choose-your-own-adventure.
Yes.
It's page 65 if you're going to die.
Yeah.
And 73 if you can succeed for a few more pages.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I don't know what to do. I'm holding a picture frame. This woman starts walking towards me. Just slowly moving.
This is a horror movie.
It's like Horror Nights.
She made the decision for me. Don't let her go.
Clearly did. She's walking towards me, and I start moving backwards, and I don't know. I hear some yelling, but now I can't decipher it. I realize she's wearing dirty, doctor gloves.
Oh,
very
no.
dirty. And she's holding what looks like a knife.
Oh, goodness.
So she's walking towards me, and she's a little foamy at the mouth as well.
Oh, no.
Why not?
And little foamy. And she's walking towards me, and I go, you don't want to walk any closer. I don't know what to say. I'm not, I'm not Steven Seagal.
What are you going to back that up with?
Yeah, I don't know. This is a zombie. I have no idea what I'm doing. So I go, you don't want to come any closer. And I kind of make it look like I could hit her with the frame. Like Swayze and Roadhouse.
Yes.
Like, I don't even know what I'm doing.
You're not very menacing.
No.
Okay.
I look like, at this point, especially in my life, I'm basically an accountant trying my hardest to look tough. So I'm walking backwards. I say, you don't want to. And she gets closer. We're about 15 feet away from each other. And then I go, if we just walk away, everything will be fine. And I don't know. I'm just talking.
Right.
Saying things
stuff you heard on TV shows.
I've heard him say it in Chips, so now I'm repeating it. And so now she is very foamy, even foamier, and she does a lunge, but she's so far away that it doesn't affect me.
Right.
But it does make me think this woman is insane.
Right.
So I make a decision at this point.
To run?
Well, or do I run at her? I don't know. I have to decide between the two things. Do I run at her with the frame, hit her,
What's the final plan?
I'm in a fight.
Right.
I have no idea.
But you don't want to be a fight with a woman with a paper dress?
You can never
foamy.
Win.
Foamy? You don't want to fight foamy?
No, you never
right.
want to fight foamy.
No.
My dad always said that.
Yes.
And so now I'm slowly walking away, and then I drop the frame, and run.
Oh, okay.
She runs after me.
No.
Full speed. She's sprinting at me.
Oh.
So I cross Olympic. For those regionally listening, they know this is a crazy street filled with cars. I don't have the moment to think.
Right.
So I run across Olympic. No one gets that close to hitting me, but a couple breaks and honks.
But early Frogger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Early Frogger.
Okay.
And so I am running and screaming. And luckily across the street, about a half a block away, I see a policeman who is doing a report of sorts on, on the ground for like an accident that happened earlier.
Okay.
You know, they have to come and take pictures or something.
Right.
So I'm running and I go, help, help. Help! And he immediately, they don't draw their guns, but they hold their guns and they think I'm in I'm the problem.
Oh, sure.
Because there's a woman chasing me.
Right.
And I go, not me, her, her! And they still don't go with it because it's like, what? She looks like a child.
Right.
And then they, you could see
it's
the
an Amish woman. How much damage could she do?
How much can she do? And they see her face. They realize this is the problem. And then guns come out for her. She stops immediately, puts her hands back behind her head, drops what was in her hand, which was a plastic knife. Which shows you me and my toughness. I thought she had a knife in her hand.
Still, it could be a silver one.
It wasn't.
And they look
it was
real?
Like a paper. It was like a white plastic
knife. Okay. All
knife.
Right. So.
And so she drops her hands, puts it behind her head. They put her in the car, still foaming, still hitting her head against the glass and laughing.
Oh, man.
And like screaming at me. They at that point were like, it's some sort of drug. You know, like it wasn't bath salts. That wasn't what it was called yet. But he was like, it's a drug where people. Like, he was explaining it to me. And so. The point is that the reason some people didn't want her to leave and others did is that she was damaging cars. I thought she was like rubbing cars to be sweet and cute for her dad waiting.
No.
She was like knifing with this plastic knife different cars. And that was a real life zombie that I encountered.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that was the last time I moved. So now every time I move somebody down in my car, I'm looking around for this woman.
For sure.
I have
because she's going to be out stalking you still.
Yeah, she probably does. Also, she knows where I live.
Yeah,
she saw me moving things.
Obviously.
So I feel like she could always always follow me and just stand by the window. I have those dirty gloves on.
I just wish you had fought her. That would have been the best thing ever.
Because
she would have destroyed you.
I would pay 10 years of salary to just see a video of me going, back away! You don't want any of this! I don't know. I was just saying everything I've ever heard in a movie.
It's a framed picture of your mother.
Yeah. Shit her head. Like, take that!
The Kevin and Bean Show.
It's a total disaster.
On K-Rock.
I was at a newsstand over the weekend at the airport, and I had this conversation with a woman who was standing there looking at the magazines because Jennifer Aniston is on the cover of one of the big magazines like Vogue or InStyle or one of them. And I says to her, I says, why is Jennifer Aniston still so famous? Why? She's usually when you see somebody on the cover of a major magazine, it's because they have something to promote. They have a movie out or something like that.
Yeah.
What's the fascination with the Friends cast? The show's been off the air for 85 years, but doesn't it seem like people are still obsessed with Friends and whether there's going to be a Friends reunion?
Yes and yes.
Friends went off the air, like I said, a million years ago, and I say good riddance because they were dicks. Those Friends guys were dicks. That's how I remember it anyway.
Why do you guys say that?
Well, because all the years that we were on in the 90s, that's when Friends was on.
Uh-huh.
And for the most part, we didn't talk to any of them.
Okay.
For the most part.
So just because they don't come on your show, they're dicks?
Yes.
What?
We actually liked the show at the time, and we were trying to have them on to promote the show. Not that they needed our help, but I think we were a little bit offended that not one of them would ever come on because we put in a lot of requests. And then slowly but surely, as time went on, we did start to, I think we ended up with three of them. And by the way, Kevin, let's not forget that Jennifer Aniston was our co-star in Kevin and Bean's Rockstar. And she could not have been lovelier, could not have been more delightful.
Man.
But that wasn't on the radio.
Not even Schwimmer would come on?
Not even Schwimmer.
No.
Schwimmer!
No.
And the Friends that we did have on, my memory, is that they were dicks.
Well, Matthew Perry for sure.
Really?
Yeah. How do you remember this one, Bean? Because we talked.
I remember Matthew Perry as being a dick, and I remember us just doing nothing but mocking him after that call happened. And I guess this is something that you had heard us talk about before, Omar, so you decided to revisit it revisit those interviews with the Friends cast on your B-Team podcast.
Absolutely. It's on episode either 46 or 47. We got an Afro call requesting, hey, Kevin and Bean from time to time say that the people from the Friends cast were dicks, and they wanted us to revisit some of the interviews.
Okay.
So I pulled a Matthew Perry, a couple of clips from the Matthew Perry interview. He was on to promote The Odd Couple.
Okay.
And then we had Lisa Kudrow, who was starring in The Comeback. So first up, we have Matthew Perry. This I just want you to hear the tone of how he says hello, and you guys could judge for yourself. See if he's in a good mood, bad mood. This is a really short clip.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Seems like he's in a good mood there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Seems right?
Fine, yeah.
Seems fine. So the Kings were in the playoff. You guys launch into about 3 or 4 minutes of just hockey talk.
Which we should have.
Okay, so you guys are talking hockey.
He's a huge Kings fan, if I recall, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And he was playing along, and, you know, he was talking about how huge of a Kings fan he is. This next clip is a little bit longer, and these clips are a little longer because I want you to sense the tone and how he's feeling, you know
okay.
what I mean?
Why do I feel like I'm being set up?
That's very important because, you know, I mean, you're going to either sense he's a dick or not, okay? So this is after about 3 to 4 minutes of hockey talk, you guys ask him how long he's been a hockey fan.
I was always a Kings fan. My dad lived in Los Angeles my whole life, so I was always a Kings fan from the time I was a little kid. Even when I lived in Montreal, when I was like 5 years old, I would go to the Kings games and be the only person screaming when they scored a goal.
Oh, my God. Did you get your ass kicked?
Then back then, they rarely scored goals against the Canadians because the Canadians were the team.
So like Guy Carboneau days.
But I've been a Kings fan since the Butch Goring days. I mean, I've been a Kings fan forever. And how to segue into The Odd Couple, I have no idea. But I'll just say that The Odd Couple is hilarious.
Well, all right.
Okay.
All right, so far.
So far, so good.
The tone, by the way.
The tone seems very positive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right?
Very excited to talk.
And he has to do his own segue into
right.
The Odd Couple because you guys are all, he probably feels like he's on a sports show.
Sure.
And he did it in a very clever and smart way.
Right.
Funny.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So far, so good. Right.
I am Team Matthew Perry at this
Sounds
point.
Sounds so charming.
And let's not forget that we're on a time crunch because these are these 8-minute interviews.
Oh, okay.
So
this is one
if
of those.
You're spending 3 to 4 minutes on hockey.
Which is the right thing to
yeah,
do.
Yeah. Then he wants to get into The Odd Couple.
Of course. Okay. Okay.
So the interview continues.
And do you love being able to show up and just be a slob and not have to shave and pretty much just wear whatever you slept in last night, Matthew?
It's really fun. I spend very little time in hair and makeup.
Nice.
And I just sort of, it's a very laid-back performance, much different than I've ever done before, much different than Chandler. And it's been really fun to play him.
Tell me about getting a new TV show on the schedule and getting fans. Is a difficult process for even good shows. Did you go into this with higher hopes? Did you think, yeah, this is going to nail it? Or you had no idea?
Well, wow. We had the title and we had me in it, so we were hopeful that it would get picked up. And it was a good script. I say so having written the script, so I'm just bragging now.
All right.
we had a lot of power behind the show before it started, so we had high hopes that it would make the air.
All right, first of all, poorly asked question by
yeah.
me.
Yeah, it was great.
I didn't
yeah.
understand it.
I didn't understand it.
Honestly,
I was saying
did not understand it.
Yeah. What part? You didn't pull the part where he was a dick.
That was the part.
Listen.
That is the part we remember, is when we said, why is it good? And he said, because I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But now that I listen back to it here, sounds like he was just joking around.
He was just joking around.
Is it possible we've been wrong this whole time?
Listen, on the B team, I always say, you know, Dave and I were working on other things here, so we always kind of like are always halfway paying attention. Uh-huh. So whatever you guys say, we take it as words.
Which you should.
So all this time, I was just like, oh, the Friends people, they're dicks.
Yeah, he's delightful.
He seemed delightful.
He was.
He seemed like a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
It was even when he said, I'm just bragging now, I mean, that was just him making fun of himself for
Absolutely.
Saying
right.
because he knew how it could be perceived. Yeah, it was completely self-deprecating. Man,
he was
I
great.
Love Matthew Perry.
So we owe him an apology?
Well, we have one more clip.
Yeah.
The Lisa Kudrow interview. Okay.
Okay. Hey, Choose on Comeback, which was a show I liked very, very much.
So. Wonderful.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's a weird situation where I hadn't even remembered that the comeback was on. Mm-hmm. Because, what, it was 2005?
Yeah, that's when it was on.
And then canceled. Correct? It was canceled in 2005.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you have a question?
And now it's a weird, don't you think that's a weird schedule?
Yeah.
What, the once every 9 years schedule?
Yeah, I mean, it seems how it's going to be tough to keep an audience. No?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
You know, we would have actually done another season back then. We would have.
Hmm. So why would you automatically insult the guest telling her, hey, your show is canceled?
I think he was trying to make it seem like, why wait so long? But obviously that wasn't her choice.
I failed that way, though. Miserably.
Yeah.
So she was pretty cool.
I think we've learned that Kevin is the dick in both cases.
Was I in both cases?
I think so.
I was going to say, because I've interviewed Lisa Kudrow, and she couldn't be more lovely, more accommodating, just say a wonderful human being. Yeah, and the comeback is one of the best shows ever.
Yeah, the interview goes on, and Bean is able to kind of like smooth things over.
Okay.
Oh, and Kevin, throughout the entire interview, is oddly quiet the rest of the interview.
So do I owe the Friends cast an apology?
I think you have to... you owe him an apology.
Apologize.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's shocking.
We could do better than that, Kevin. We could do better than that.
I thought they were dicks. Total dicks.
Oh, no.
By the way, same.
Yeah.
And I was wrong.
Yeah, I was here for that Matthew Perry interview.
Yeah.
And I was on board with him being a dick.
Okay.
You're very persuasive, Kevin. You're like a cult leader.
You are. We believe anything that comes out of your mouth for some reason.
I'm the problem.
Yes!
Oh, no.
Kevin's a dick. 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 Kevin's a dick. Dick. Dick.
Finally.
Kevin's a dick. 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 Oh, you are a giant dick.
Okay.
Kevin's a dick. 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 Kevin's a dick.
How's it feel, Kevin?
Dick, dick.
Pretty bad.
Kevin, you're a dick. 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 You're a big giant dick. Dick. Dick.
All right.
Dickity dick.
Right.
Dick. Dick, dick, dick.
That's my bad.
Kevin's a big dickity dick.
That one's on me.
Giant dick, dick, dick.
Okay, all right.
Kevin, you're a giant dick.
All right, that's
Kevin,
my bad.
Kevin, Kevin, you're a giant dick.
Dick!
Kevin, 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 you're a giant dick.
Dick!
Kevin, 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 you're a giant dick.
Dick!
Kevin, 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 you're a giant dick. Dick, dickity dick.
All right.
Such a dick. Oh my god, you're a dick, dick, dick.
Okay.
Dick, 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 dickity dick. Kevin, you're a dick, dick, dick. What a dick.
That needs to be my ringtone, am I right?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Hey, what if I told you our good friend Dr. Jupinski was on the phone?
I'd believe it because we do it every week.
Dr. Drew!
Hey, it's something that's unchanging every week. How about that?
Yes, mm-hmm. And we appreciate it. I know I tell you this from time to time, but we know how busy you are and that you're on the in front of a microphone 23 and a half hours a day, so we appreciate when we get to be one of them. You tweeted out something yesterday that you were doing an interview on
Affective disorder.
Affective disorder. That's a real thing for people who get bluer than blue when the weather starts to change and the days become shorter, right?
Yeah. You know what's interesting that you caught that? I was on Dave Navarro's show talking about that. Is that the tweet you saw?
Yes,
or was
that's
I,
the one. Yeah. That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and so I went in and started talking about that, and within really seconds, we started talking about how miserable the world is generally. And that, I think, is a good sort of indicator of the kind of burden that people have this year that might be a little different than in previous years. So as you're saying, the days are shorter, there's less light, and that can mm-hmm. affect our neurobiology. There's the stress of being around family and consuming too much alcohol. There's the FOMO of looking at other people's Instagram. There's also nostalgia. There's also people that are lonely or have had loss. All that comes crushing down around the holidays. And there's something kind of weird, uncanny about the holidays where just everything goes down. It's weird. When I used to work in emergency rooms, every medical problem you could imagine would come rushing through the door, unrelated to stress, just things coming in randomly. So there's something maybe statistical about this time of year on top of that. And so there's a lot going on. But the thing I think it's worthy of a little conversation today is we're kind of a mess, this country.
I agree. I agree. Look, Dr. Drew, we've had conversations on this show in the last couple of weeks about studies that we have seen that suggest that the majority of people, over 50%, would rather not gift exchange. So something that used to be a thing that people really enjoyed and looked forward to now has just become overwhelming. It's become too much of a burden. It's become too much pressure.
And I feel like that being hidden in that is one of the problems that we're dealing with right now is complete disconnect. Yeah. As opposed to, you know, thinking of another person, and then we think about it as consumerism, but in reality, there's a healthy piece to this, which is you think about that other person, you think about something genuine about them, you bring that to them, and it's an offering of something genuine about that person that you appreciate, that you've thought about. That's connectivity, and we ain't connected. We are not connected right now. We are not in clubs. We are not in organizations. We are not in neighborhoods. We are not in communities. We're not even in families anymore. And that, to me, is, and again, you could easily say not giving gifts is just a sign of us being stressed and overwhelmed, but I think it's a sign of the lack of connectivity, which is underlying so much of what's going wrong right now.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think we are a nation of 300 million people who walk around who are almost in our own little universe.
But there is a chance, you know, I thought we kind of came together a little bit around H.W. Bush's funeral. I feel like we have potential to come together. I have found two things I've found rather powerful right now. One is apologies. I think it's time to look at other people's points of view, and to the extent that you can really get in other people's shoes, when you get there, you'll find yourself thinking, oh, man, I didn't really see it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't really get your point of view. And go ahead and apologize. And the other emotion that there just isn't enough of, and it's an emotion that when people express it, I know they're in good shape, and that is gratitude. Mm-hmm. Gratitude, and think about the world's religions. One of their sort of core precepts always is be thankful. Lord, we're thankful for, and we never are thankful for anything. We're ingrates now.
I think you're. I mean, I certainly try. Gratitude is. I probably don't apologize as much as I should, if I'm being honest. I definitely put gratitude first and foremost. It's literally
good.
Within
good.
The first minute of waking up every day, I am grateful to A, be alive, B, be in good health, C, be able to get up and walk. And there are a lot of people who don't have those things. And I certainly recognize how fortunate I am to have a great wife and to have a great job and to have great friends and everything. I mean, I do think I've got that. But I also think when you bring up the George H.W. Bush thing, I feel like that made me sad hearing all those eulogies about how he was a people person and liked to work across the aisle and wanted what was best for the country, not for him, and was a modest guy and had all those other great characteristics we hear about the greatest generation. And it just, to me, made me think we may never have a president like that again, because the guys who come after him aren't like that. Those are dead times.
It's on us. We'll have it if we want it, right? I think one of the things that we have to maybe do is look away from 3,000 miles east and just look locally. And that's one of the things all the craziness I'm hoping causes us to do. The local practice of democracy, the local giving, the local service, the local appreciation of the relationships we actually have. Maybe the television and mass media has made us feel too close to something we shouldn't feel so close to, right? We should be thinking, is it the local practice of democracy that's always made this country work? Well, so I don't know. We're getting deep down a rabbit hole here. But
No. I'm an optimist probably to
me too,
a fault. But I would say that the one thing that this has done has pushed a lot of my generation towards local government, which I know for a fact more
that's
people.
That's a very positive thing.
Yeah.
A very positive thing. And I'm hoping that, you know, that also pushes us back towards real relationships, bodies in space, not on screens. And that's what humans need. We just need that. And I'm kind of seeing the generation behind the millennials coming up, and I think they're into it. I think they got it, maybe. But we'll see.
So.
I mean, who knows? We've been through worse times, guys. We've been through worse. This is not, you know, that bad. I mean, we're just kind of a mess right now.
This was a very helpful conversation. I did not expect it to go as deep as it did, Dr. Drew, but you bring up some really good points and certainly some points worth thinking about. We love you, man. Thanks for jumping
on. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Why did we agree to do this?
Why did we agree to do anything?
I hate us.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
I hate us.
Dumb.
Now listen, I don't pick the stories. All right, actually, I do, actually. But these stories are very much butt-centric.
Oh.
These are all about the butt.
All right.
Okay.
Just happened that way. I didn't plan it.
Any anal relaxer involved in any of them?
I don't believe so, but I'm not positive about one of them.
Okay.
Who was smuggling drugs. Maybe that was a necessary way to do it. Let's start with plants but no pants. Florida man gardens in the nude. A Florida man's neighbors are complaining because he does all of his gardening in the nude. And they showed a picture on the news. He's literally just standing in the front yard gardening naked.
Come on, sir.
How is that even news in Florida, by the
right?
way? Right? I just assume that's what most people do in Florida.
The angry residents told news outlets that they've called the sheriff's office, but the man continues to work naked. Here's a report.
He'll be out there working on his car, opens the garage door up, stands there, works on his car, old Camaro he's got in there.
The man will even do yard work completely exposed.
Everyone says that's just crazy, you know? It is.
Amy Canterbury is a mother of six. Her kid's bus stop is across the street from the man's home. She does not see a problem with him letting it all hang out.
I mean, what a roller coaster of emotions.
So, everybody else is mad except for the mother of six.
What?
And her kid's all six bus stop is right across the street from Naked Man.
Yeah, I'm worried
about
her.
She has six kids. She's no stranger to being naked herself.
I mean, I guess that's true, yes. The next one is police man arrested for hiding counterfeit bills in his buttocks.
Sure.
Why can't they just say butt? I don't understand that. This comes out of Nashville. A man was arrested on drug charges after a traffic stop. According to Nashville police, he was speeding along First Avenue when officers tried pulling him over. They said he refused to get out of the car and turned his car back on and then tried to drive away. And they stopped him from doing that, and they found marijuana and a Viagra pill inside his car.
He was ready.
After a search, Mitchell was also found hiding five fake $100 bills in his buttocks.
Butt stuff.
Now I have a question for you guys. Is it possible to have the dollar bills in between, or would it have to be, inside?
I think you could. Yeah, I think you could.
Yeah, you could clench.
Yeah,
clench
with your butt. Right?
He wasn't making change.
That's true. The next one is a Tennessee inmate arraigned on charges of escaping, breaking back into Morgan County Prison. Tennessee prison inmate pleaded guilty on Tuesday to charges. He escaped from Morgan County Correctional Complex only to attempt to sneak back in days later with a load of items to sell to the prisoners on the black market. Robert Fusco is 37 years old. He was among eight people that were arrested, including guards and some of his fellow prisoners. He escaped on January 5th and then tried to break back inside. And he said that he kept all of the items, quote, and again, I'm going to need you guys' help, under his groin.
How big is his groin?
But is that...
In the neither nor?
Is that butts?
No, I think that's I don't want to test the dump button here, but the taint?
The taint?
I think so.
He's tainting that stuff right into the prison. can that be used as a verb?
I don't know.
I'm not positive.
Sure.
And finally, finally, a woman arrested for burglary, accused of stealing cash, car keys, and pooping in an Oklahoma City University fraternity house. Oklahoma City, a woman was arrested for burglarizing an Oklahoma City University fraternity house Sunday night. Melissa Lenz, 25, was arrested shortly after police were called to the fraternity. They left the front door open. She was a stranger. She just walked in, wandered around the fraternity.
She went into a specific room, found someone's wallet, took over $300 in cash and his car keys, and then pulled down her pants in the middle of the room and pooped.
So they left the back door open, too.
Right. When the student returned to the room, she dropped her ID card and screamed and pulled up her pants and ran out.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So she left her ID card in the room next to the poo.
Yeah.
That's why she's dumb. So then she tries to run. She goes downstairs. The police are called. She jumps out a window. But they find her so easily because she left her ID right next to her deposit.
I don't like it.
You don't like any of these? That is People Are Dumb.
Dumb. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
They're all doing great.
Except for Kevin.
K-Rock.
Get up. Get on up.
On this.
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 How come Omar can sing on tune for Jensen, but not for us?
I bring out the best in him.
Is that it?
Yes, yeah. This week, I'm very excited to get you up on a musician. Here's the thing about her. We're all Missy Elliott fans, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Missy
sure.
Elliott was awesome. Problem is, Missy Elliott doesn't release a whole lot of music in 2018, let alone 2015. It's been a long time since we've had real new Missy Elliott music. And when she did try it, people didn't really run with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Put out a single. Everyone's like, eh. But even if you don't like hip-hop, you like Missy Elliott because she sort of bends genres and finds herself in dance and hip-hop, and boundaries are sort of limitless.
She does mix a lot of stuff, yeah.
That's right.
And it comes off well.
There you go. Well, there is a new musician out of Brooklyn who put out an album last year, but I feel like it still doesn't get the buzz that it deserves. Lekale 47. Do you guys know about Lekale 47?
Never heard of.
Lekale 47.
It sounds like it should be banned. Is that a semi-automatic? Or?
Well, it also sounds like an AOL screen name. Lekale 47 at AOL.com. Lekale 47 is from Brooklyn. She's in her early to mid-20s, but that's pretty much all we know about her for real.
That's it.
That's it. Lekale 47 is a completely mysterious, hidden person, and that's because every time on stage, she wears a full ski mask so that her entire her entire face is hidden.
Is that sort of like the Sia thing where she covers her eyes so no one can?
Yes, except we know what Sia looks like because she used to be in that band, and now we have to pretend it's not the same person, which is annoying. Lekale 47 actually really has never been seen in person. She had an incredible shyness growing up, and she needed to find a way for her to make music but still not necessarily face that kind of fear for people knowing who she truly is.
So she came up with the most threatening way.
That's true, and she is very scary looking with this ski mask, but she's went from just wearing sort of a black or pink ski mask on stage. Now designers have started giving her ones with rhinestones, and she started to mess around with different types.
But, I hope she never tries to perform in a bank.
That yeah, could be, or a liquor store.
Confusing,
A lot of artists perform in banks.
I'm just saying she's wearing a ski mask.
I saw Radiohead, Chase, and I'm telling you, they kill. But listen, Lekale 47 put out an album called Wash and Set. It was out last year. And I'm telling you, she's sort of one of those genre-bending musicians that if you like Missy Elliott, if you like that kind of rap, she's for you. We have a couple songs. The first one is called Miss Me, and it gives you a good feeling of sort of her up-tempo stuff.
Miss me with the boldish. Miss me with the boldish. Charged up like a Tesla. Out here messed up like a Mexican wrestler. This a gift from God, baby. I'm just a messenger. Elevate the flow. 47 gon' level up. Lord knows I've been through hell to put it on. So if I were to want mother fucker, then bring it on. Sometimes I can't believe I'm the one they was sleeping on. To each his own. I deserve a queen. You pick a thorn. I'm sitting on.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
That's very Missy.
It's really good, and that's the thing, is like some of them sound especially Missy, but then you get into another one, like this is Second Fiddle, the second song that I brought in. It gives you a little bit different of a feeling, and she's just awesome. This is that one.
Are you
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Why does somebody like this, who's so clearly talented, not make it
in a bigger way? Do people not know what to do with her?
It's the industry, guys. I mean, I think that with Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, there's a certain lane that they have to fall into as a female rapper. And that's unfortunate that I even have to put that preface in front of rapper.
Yeah,
but
true.
That's the way that the music industry works. And some people fall through the cracks in that way. And I think Lekale is one of those people. Now, what I would say is that it's the first album. Like, someone like Lekale 47 will take time to sort of build. I know that that she was supposed to play Pride this year down on Santa Monica here, and they had some sort of problem with the concert where they had to close it down and stuff. Mm-hmm. But she is around. But it's just, again, it's a name that I'm bringing in because no one knows her.
Yeah.
The third song they brought in is called Don't Do It, and I love this song.
Make a woman wonder how I did this shit last summer. I would have get it other bugging my number. 47 on the come up, but I dare again to run up. You know I keep a blade to cut off, and I don't mind scuffing up my buttocks. I really don't care if you don't like me. Don't get your jaw checked like some damn ID. I chew the beat up like a chicken roti. Unless you like me, that's unlikely. Don't do it.
This I love her so much more than Cardi B.
Yeah.
This all sounds so different from her very famous Cash Me Outside single, too.
No, don't do it.
I mean, also the Cow song, right? They all sound different.
Yes. It's weird, though, that all three of those songs sound like three different people.
They do, yeah.
That's amazing.
I love that.
And then there's just full-on R&B on the record as well. Later on the Wash and Set album, there's just full-on ballads. She's sort of, you can't really categorize her, and I know that we've loved
that.
Yeah, and I think this is just a new person in that genre.
Will you spell her name for us?
Lekale 47. L-E-I-K-E-L-I 47. The album is called Wash and Set. It came out last year, but it did not get the attention it deserves. And also, someone to look forward to, because it's not over for her at all, just because no one saw the first record. She's on a major, so she's going to get another shot. And also, she wears a ski mask.
Is it weird that I'm totally thinking, A, not great for your pores, because she's sweating and whatnot, but what if she's wearing a ski mask with, like, moisturizing lotion inside of it? She might be so far ahead of all of us with this.
Is it weird that you think that? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, are you angling for, like, a Neutrogena commercial for Lekale 47?
I think she'd be great.
She would probably be good. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. But she's awesome, and I cannot support more the female movement that's going on in hip hop. But I just don't think everyone has to be Cardi or Nicki. We can
agree.
I prefer they have
a different sound. Yeah. So and then Lekale is, I think, at the forefront.
Get up, get on up, on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up,
get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
It's Kevin and Bean on K Rock.
Lame.
We have an unnatural amount of glee when our next guest is on the phone, don't we?
We do.
It's true.
He just makes us feel good. Author Brad Meltzer, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Brad?
I'm good, brother. How's everybody?
We're fine. I love that you write books faster than Kevin can read them. That's the pace that you're on right now.
How dare you?
And he just means the children's books.
Right. It just seems like every 6 weeks you're out with another one. How do you do it, Brad?
I don't even write them. It's these kids in Malaysia who do it these days.
Oh, that's nice. Sweatshop?
Yeah, no, naturally. Why would you do it any other way?
Yeah, exactly. So Brad has a series of books we've been telling you about for a couple of years here on K-Rock that are meant to be, I don't want to steal your thunder here, Brad, but they're meant to be heroes, role models that your kids can look up to. And you have a long series of books, everybody from Amelia Earhart to Martin Luther King to Abraham Lincoln. The list goes on and on and on. And you're out with an exciting new book this week called I Am Neil Armstrong. Why did you decide to tackle one of the most famous men who ever lived this time around?
You know, I think when you look through history, there's these great needs. And you don't get the heroes you want, you get the heroes you need. And I think Neil Armstrong, there's a reason why the movie's coming out. There's a reason why I've tried to write about it. It's because we need him. We need a humble guy who doesn't just beat his chest and say, I'm the best. And what I love about Neil Armstrong is he stands for humility. Neil Armstrong never used the word I. He used to always use the word we. He would say, we did this. When the Apollo mission went to the moon, he said, you know, this is all of our accomplishments. And he meant the scientists, the mathematicians. He meant the tailor who sewed the suit together. And remember when humility was a great American value?
Sure.
Like today on Twitter, we reward those who are the loudest and get the most attention for themselves. But we need to teach our kids that it's the humble ones that deserve the real reward.
I got to be honest, if I was Neil Armstrong, it would be really difficult not to introduce myself to everybody as Neil Armstrong, first man to walk on the moon. How are you?
I would have the tattoo that said, I'm the first guy on the moon on my forehead.
And he, I mean, he was such a, I mean, humility is a great term to put on him, but he was such a quiet guy, too. I mean, when he landed, when he came back after walking on the moon, he was the most famous person that had ever lived. Everybody wanted a piece of him. He didn't want to have anything to do with any of that, right? All he wanted to do was just go to work, do his job, and spend time with his family.
Yeah, and that's why they picked him. You know, there would him being the first one out wasn't just, oh, you made it to the door first before Buzz Aldrin. It was a plan, right? And they had to choose, who do we pick? Who's the first guy? Buzz Aldrin, I think, you know, tried to make it him, but they picked Neil Armstrong because he was never going to put his face on a T-shirt, never going to have, like, a fast food joint that's named after him. He's never going to sell out. And I think that Neil Armstrong, you know, when we teach our kids about him, it goes back to when he's 8 years old. When he's 8 years old, his big dream was to climb this giant silver maple tree in his backyard, the biggest tree there. And when you climb a tree, when you're a kid, it's like a puzzle, right? You got to grab one branch and then the other. You got to engineer a solution. And Neil Armstrong grabs a dead branch one day, and he falls out of the tree. He plummets on his back 15 feet down, smashes onto his back. His mother and sister come running. And the most important thing that Neil Armstrong does that day, it's the opening of the book, but he gets back up again. And he gets a job mowing grass in a cemetery. He saves money so he can buy toy planes. Then he buys real planes. He wants to get a pilot license. He gets his pilot license before he gets his driver's license. That's how young he was.
Wow.
Then he becomes a test pilot, becomes an astronaut. And we all today celebrate that giant leap that Neil Armstrong took for all mankind. But we need to teach our kids, you don't get to take the giant leap until you take the thousands of small steps to get there. It's that hard work that's so vital. Our kids want to be Instagram famous and everything comes to them. But I Am Neil Armstrong as a children's book is about no, you take the hard work first, then you take the giant leap.
That is one of the, that was put so well, Brad, and that's a message that everybody needs to hear because there's a generation of kids, maybe two generation of kids, I feel like are growing up right now and their goal is to, quote, be famous, end quote. That's it. That's the extent of what they want to be with no idea and no plan how much hard work it takes to be good enough at something that you will be famous.
No, and there's a Harvard study that just came out, and this is sad, but it's true. They said the number one thing that we're teaching our kids today, we used to teach our kids, you know, hard work and be humble and all those things, but because kids are so focused on social media, the number one thing they're focused on are their likes. How many people are liking their things? And so what we're teaching them, whether we like it or not, is popularity is what's important. And to me, this whole series of books is all about battling that and teaching kids that's not the end goal. You know, one of the things I love about Neil Armstrong is when he's on the moon, he's trying to land on the moon. We have on our phones more computing power than he had on the Apollo rockets. The technology
Wow.
is just not there, right? And think about that a moment, right? The technology is not there. They can't see where they're going. They've overshot the landing. There's all these moon rocks that are there that are the size of cars. They have a minute of fuel left to go. 1 minute. And the only thing that Neil Armstrong has that he's using to land the thing is a stopwatch and math. Let me tell you something. If I had to use math, that's my death. Right? But I Am Neil Armstrong, you know, stands for that idea of, like, in that moment, you stay calm. That hard work will pay off. And that calm will lead you to victory. And again, if you don't teach your kids that, your kids are going to pick heroes. You might as well have some say in it and give them a good one.
Have Absolutely. You ever, in researching the people that you think this is going to make a good book, you start researching, then you're like, ugh, this person's an ass. Move on to the next one.
You know, I did. I found one. I'll tell you offline who it
okay.
was. But I was researching her. I was like, she's a fashion icon. She's amazing. I love her. She's going to be great. What a good one to do. And then she's like a Nazi sympathizer. And I was like,
oh,
you know
yeah.
what? I'm going to leave. I don't really want to do the Nazi page in the IM series.
Was it Audrey Hepburn?
No, it's Coco Chanel.
No, Audrey Hepburn's amazing.
It's Coco Chanel,
Audrey
right?
Is a gold star. Audrey Hepburn surpasses all your expectations.
It's Coco wow. Chanel, right? Coco Chanel? Is it Coco Chanel?
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Hey, Brad, Kevin is sick of me talking about Neil Armstrong because he's he's in my top three humans of all time that ever lived. When I read the first man book that the movie is based on by author James Hansen a few years ago, I thought it was the greatest biography I had ever read, and I learned so much about how many close calls Neil had before he ever got to fly to the moon, where he easily could have been killed. And like you were talking about, that calmness that he had, the dude had like ice water running through his veins. It's unbelievable how strong and how focused he was.
Oh, and we show in the kids' book. I was like, we got to show this. Kids need to see you don't just get that giant leap and succeed. He's on a test pilot flight, and the plane is going down in flames. He's never learned how to do the ejector seat parachute. He doesn't know how it works, but he stays calm and he figures it out.
What are you hearing about the movie, Brad? Good things?
So here's the thing. There's obviously all the controversy of, you know, oh my gosh, they didn't show the flag. Like, no one's seen the movie. The flag, according to Neil Armstrong's sons, is prominently displayed in it. And I got to say, everyone has a thing for Ryan Gosling. Like, he just has that kind of old 50s thing going that I can't wait for. Personally, I can't wait for the movie. I know people, we love controversies today, but in honor of Neil Armstrong, I think we need to take a breath, be a little calm, and let's see it before we judge it. I mean,
wait.
These guys did an amazing job.
You want us to wait and see it before we judge it?
I know it's a crazy idea.
That's insane.
I know it's insane, right?
He is a number one New York Times bestselling author in many categories. This series is essential. We hear from parents all the time after your appearances, Brad. They're so grateful we have you on, and they love this series. The new one is called I Am Neil Armstrong. It is available now wherever you get your books.
Oh, and if I can tell you one other thing I forgot that's out
Jesus
today,
Christ, Brad, we're busy. We got a busy show here.
Is with Neil Armstrong is the Strong Girls gift set. So it's I'm Amelia Earhart, Sacagawea, Jane Goodall, and Harriet Tubman. $60 of books for $30 on Amazon. The Strong Girls gift set comes today too.
All right.
Awesome.
That's a good deal. Wow. All right, Brad, we'll catch up again soon, man. Let us know when you're back in town. We can have another cake. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, man.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
How about some animal stories?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Sad news to start the program today. We're going to dedicate this edition of Animal Stories. What?
Don't bum us out with Animal Stories.
Right? Well, it's just that if you missed it while we were on break, Zsa Zsa, the world's ugliest dog, passed away.
Oh, all right.
Remember we talked about her? This is very sad. She was the 9-year-old English bulldog who had recently been crowned.
Oh, that just won.
That one that just won like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She's a bitch.
No, she's Zsa Zsa not a bitch at all.
She had a really hard life.
She did. But she died in her sleep.
But she was a bitch.
Right? Well, I mean, technically, yes.
Yes.
At her home in Minnesota. And I just, the only thing I can say is, as Allie mentioned, she had a terrible life as a breeder, kept in a cage. And then she ended up having this wonderful family that traveled with her. And she got lots of attention and lots of love. So, you know, it ended up being a pretty good life for Zsa Zsa. But let's dedicate the report to little Zsa
Zsa. Is this
today,
Bean's death corner? I'm confused.
No, it's not. I wasn't bringing it up since she was a famous animal in the news recently.
Sure, of course.
Very famous.
I do have a happy dog story, though. If you saw this, this is curious to me because I have talked on the air and off the air as well about how you can't fly with certain flat-faced dogs. Like, I have English bulldogs like Zsa Zsa, and you can't take them on a plane. There's almost no carrier that will allow you to take them on the plane because they have inherent breathing problems. Right. Well, somehow JetBlue still allows it. And Michelle and Stephen Bird had their 3-year-old French bulldog on a plane recently. Darcy was in a pet carrier under the seat in front of him and started to become distressed. Her owner, Michelle, noticed that her tongue and gums had turned blue, signaling a lack of oxygen. Now, I'm confused by this because if Darcy's not getting enough oxygen, is anybody getting enough oxygen? What are they doing on JetBlue?
How dare you, first of all, besmirch JetBlue.
Isn't it harder for dogs like that to breathe?
Yes.
It is.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it is. But, I mean, she was in the cabin, which is pressured. So it's just weird to me that she would have this trouble breathing. But here's the happy ending of the story. They alerted the flight attendant who brought over oxygen, an oxygen mask, put it on the dog. She perked right up. She's absolutely fine.
So take it back, because you know what United would have done? Chucked her out the window.
I don't think they would have chucked her out the window. I'm pretty sure that's not their policy.
United would have asked if there was a vet on board to put the dog down. So that's very quick thinking, by the way, from a flight attendant to go, hey, we have oxygen masks. Let's help out little Darcy. And she's totally fine. So the family says they will not be flying with their dog in the future unless they get veterinary clearance and find out more about it.
But and that's the little picture of her.
It was very sad. Very sad. Precious, but a happy ending. Kevin, here's one for you. Drunken seagulls prompt uptick in animal rescue calls.
All right.
British authorities say they received a surge of reports about drunken conduct in the last few weeks, but the perpetrators aren't the usual suspects. They are seagulls. RSPCA officials say they responded to more than a dozen reports about seagulls that appeared to be drunk. Officers believe the birds have gotten into brewery waste. By the way, that's tough to say. That's like rural juror. Brewery waste.
We know what you mean.
One more time. No, one more.
Sorry, clarify.
Brewery waste.
Excellent. Well done.
Oh, that was close.
Well done.
At first, the birds look like they have botulism, but then after vomiting, most seem to recover. Sound familiar, Kevin?
It sounds like Vegas.
The birds absolutely stink of alcohol when we collect them, so now all of our vans smell like pubs.
Are they, like, flying into stuff?
No, well, I don't know about that. I don't know what the drunken behavior is. But they have asked companies that produce alcohol to be more careful about their waste to avoid affecting wildlife.
Mm.
I thought this was an interesting story. You don't get into politics much in animal stories, but did you guys see the press conference last week that Speaker of the House Paul Ryan gave?
I did not.
Mm-mm.
He is not allowed to drive because he has a security detail that takes him everywhere.
Okay.
He's the Speaker of the House. So he found out recently, as he plans to head into retirement in a couple of months, that his, as he put it, my car has been eaten by animals. It's just dead. He left his car at his mother's house in his hometown in Wisconsin, and he found out recently that a family of woodchucks had moved into the underbody of his Suburban.
Sweet.
He says he will be getting a new Ford truck upon retirement and get rid of the defunct Suburban. And he has to renew his driver's license as well because he hasn't been allowed to drive all this time. But have you ever heard? I mean, we've all had problems with rats.
Had rats, yeah, and raccoons.
Raccoons, yeah. You've seen. Never heard of, maybe it's just a Wisconsin thing, but woodchucks.
Yeah.
Taking your car down, which I think
bet
is
they're
hilarious.
So cute, though.
All right, and here is, if I can find it, here it is. Here is one final story. This is the Department of Environmental Conservation got a phone call last Wednesday. One of its officers responded to a call that involved a snake. Now, check this out from the news in New York.
The next time you're angry about your alarm clock going off, just remember there are worse ways that you can be woken up. Wow. Like, for example, having a 6-foot-long snake fall on top of you. It happened to this man in the village of Pulaski, Central New York.
He's in bed.
No.
What?
No, sir.
He's in bed, and from the ceiling above him comes a 6-foot snake.
And he's in a hut in the rainforest somewhere.
He's in his apartment in Central New York,
okay.
Allie.
Oh, God.
How long would it take you to process what was happening?
I don't think I still would. That's craziness.
Department of Environmental Conservation officers determined the snake had escaped its enclosure in an apartment upstairs, then made its way, darling, through the floor. Mm-hmm. The man was not hurt. The snake returned to its owner.
As they said at the beginning of the story, there are worse ways to wake up than just your alarm clock going off. So be grateful, that you didn't start your day like this guy did. And this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news.
Fine.
Animal Stories to cure your blues.
The Kevin and Bean Show mornings on K-Rock. K-Rock, K-Rock, K-Rock.
Sounds kind of boring.
Is today my birthday, by the way?
Or a planet.
Seriously, all these stories.
Because we're doing UFO, we're doing aliens are attacking. And that's science. That's not just me saying it. That's Harvard University saying that this thing that they spotted is not from here.
What thing is it?
It could be a fully operational probe sent intentionally to Earth by an alien civilization.
Do we know it's a probe? Or could it just be a rock?
We don't know a lot about it, okay. So we do have a news report on this. Let's find out.
Just over a year ago, on October 19th, 2017, astronomers saw an object from interstellar space flying through our solar system for the first time. It was dubbed Oumuamua, Hawaiian for scout. And almost as suddenly as it had appeared, it was out of sight again.
I mean, right there. Like,
right?
What else could it possibly be?
Oumuamua.
Right? Exactly. Thank you, Kevin. That's the name of my ukulele band, too, by the way.
Of course, we at Seeker covered it and reported that based on what scientists saw, they concluded that it was an asteroid. Now, though, they're not so sure. There are a few things we can be certain about. We know it must have come from outside our solar system because it was traveling so dang fast.
Okay.
Oumuamua shot past us at almost 88 kilometers per second.
Wow.
Whoa. I'm not good with kilometers, but that seems super fast.
It is super fast, yeah.
Okay.
That sort of speed couldn't have come from the sun's gravity alone, so it must have been fired at us from somewhere beyond.
Oh.
We also know its shape, size, and color. It's likely very elongated, like a stubby cigar, and it's tumbling through space. We also know it's about 400 to 800 meters long and stained dark red, possibly from its interstellar journey. Everything else about Oumuamua is basically a question mark. Astronomers originally thought it was an asteroid, but now they can't agree because it's done some things a comet would do.
Okay. Now,
what's the difference between an asteroid and a comet?
We don't have time to go into what's the difference between an asteroid and a comet, but they do have physical properties. They do react in a certain way that this one kind of does neither.
Sort of outside the box. Mm.
Yes. People are saying, yeah, it can't be an asteroid, so it must be a comet. Then people are saying, yeah, but it can't be a comet, so it must be an asteroid. So that's part of the confusion, and that's why this third option, this better option.
Could it be alien? Hit it, Steve.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, an infallible word of God or, you know, in a terrorist, you know, situation or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
Well said.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
How about that guy?
Okay, sorry, Bean. Go on.
Well, there's no reason to now because I had already edited that into my piece. So that's all the audio we need to play. So we don't know what it is. I hope it's not going to kill us.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
There are two food stories in the news right now, Kevin, that I think are interesting.
All right.
Now, we haven't talked about this one off the air at all, so I have a feeling, like with so many things, I'm going to be the only one who's sad by this news.
I mean, that's generally true.
Because you guys hate all things that are great.
Right.
Neckos are no more.
Good.
The Necco factory was, the Necco company was sold, and now the new buyers have closed down the Necco factory.
That went, what, Revere or Saugus, Mass.?
Yes.
Yeah, I flip that off as I drive past it, driving to my parents in Maine.
This is why you're mad.
And that's the right thing.
Neckos are from hell.
Delicious.
Why not just eat some chalk?
Because it doesn't taste like chalk. Because
chalk and cardboard.
Yeah,
just eat both. You know what? Neckos is one of my five favorite candies to get at 7-Eleven. And you can ask my brother and you can ask my dad. We grew up eating Neckos all the time, and I never stopped loving them. It's like eating pure sugar. What's not to love? It literally
is not pure sugar.
Because it's not sweet. It is literally like eating chalk.
It is chalk.
It's a disc of chalk.
Of delicious flavored sugar is what it is. A lot of people are very upset. And by the way,
a lot of people are very upset. Thank you, Donald Trump.
They are. I've heard. I answered the business line and they were telling. Look, I'm very upset, A, because I love Necco wafers.
No one loves
Necco.
You don't, but go ahead.
Because I'm seeing some just out and out hate about Necco wafers online today.
What
as
a surprise.
This news. Necco wafers have been around since before the Civil War, by the way, with no change in their recipe. Plenty of detractors argue that the candy tastes like it's been around since the Civil War.
They only made them during the World War years, and then...
Yeah, they've run out. That's why they're closing.
That's it, they run out.
Now, it is unclear what will happen to the other brands under the company umbrella. They also make Sweethearts, those little heart-shaped Valentine's Day candies. Where do you guys come down on that?
I like those, too.
They make Mary Janes. They make Squirrel Nut Zippers, which I like very much. I'm not a fan of the Clark bars. They make the Clark bars as well.
Okay.
But look, here's what I'm saying, and I'm going to do the same thing today. If there are Necco wafers in a store near you, grab them now.
Unless.
Buy them now.
Hold on. Unless you think they taste like chalk. Then go ahead and let somebody else buy them.
Yeah. There's no reason to buy them if you don't like them.
Right.
But if you don't like them, you're a bad person. All right. So that's thing one. Thing two. Hot Cheetos, ladies and gentlemen, are back in the news, which we're always excited about.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
Anytime.
I like those little kids.
I love them so
just
much.
Just makes you instantly happy.
Although they're like 30 now, so
I love hot Cheetos so much.
Anytime hot Cheetos are in the news, we get very excited. But this is a weird story. This is from Memphis.
Kevin was just pretending smoking. He was smoking. And
I love hot Cheetos.
Sitting on the sidewalk with a shopping cart. All right, back to you.
This is a news report, I think, from Tennessee. The story happened in Memphis. Let's listen to what happened to this teenager.
A teen in Memphis had to have her gallbladder removed. Hot Cheetos might be the blame.
What?
Oh, my God.
Gallbladder removed, everybody.
Wow.
Now, how many hot Cheetos do you have to eat before you get to the point where your gallbladder has to be taken out?
Honestly, I would think there's no number.
I would think
you could eat them around the clock. You might have other health issues, but where's your gallbladder going to take out?
Well, for starters about health issues, your booty might be burning, right?
Well, that's true.
Keep that in mind. But yeah, you're right. It's a safe, you would think it is a safe food that you could eat all you want.
You get sick of it before anything real, you know, bad could happen. It's so bizarre. All right,
let's
continue.
17-year-old Renee Craighead.
She's 17!
Oh. Yes.
I thought this would definitely be a dude.
Look, I did too. We all did, because dudes are dumb. All right, here we go.
Estimates that she was eating about 4 bags a day of different spicy flavored chips, that she apparently developed a pain in her stomach, went to the hospital, had to have her gallbladder removed. Her doctor believes the hot chips could be partly to blame. Frito-Lay and Takis both released separate statements reassuring their chips are safe to eat, but added they should be enjoyed in what?
Moderation. I can go through about a third of a Flamin' Hot Crunchy bag, and then that's good.
Yeah, but some people who love spicy, they just can overdo it, I know.
We're not talking the big bags.
Oh, I think they're talking the mini bags.
But if it's the mini bags, how does her gallbladder have to be removed? And he also said could be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she had other health issues.
At 17, I don't know. I mean, it seems
said only could be part of it. He didn't say it's a direct relation.
Well, because you can't really prove it. But, I mean, that's probably the food that is most suspect because she was eating so much of it every day. And by the way, 4 bags a day is not a healthy diet.
Right, but not that much.
It doesn't sound
unless it's 4 of the big bags. You're not thinking just little snack bags.
Yeah,
that
I think
puts
it's snack bags.
Lunch.
That's what I'm thinking.
You think they're the monster bags?
Yeah, wow.
I would think it would have to be to do this kind of damage, no?
Renee, what are you doing, girl?
That's what I'm saying. need to talk to Renee.
What are you doing?
It can't possibly be those bags.
Now, I can't, I don't want to narrow this down and get somebody we know in trouble, but you know, we've talked in the past about how addictive these hot Cheetos are it's become an epidemic. Talk about things that are banned in schools, by the way. A lot of schools have banned the hot Cheetos for a number of reasons. They're like contraband. It's like smuggling drugs into jail or something.
Right.
But we know somebody, Allie, you heard this story yesterday, who is a teacher who goes to Costco and buys the giant, bags of hot Cheetos, the pallet of the mini sizes, and then sells them to her students at a big markup.
That's awesome.
Side
hustle indeed,
that
right?
That is truly awesome.
And there's a line around the classroom for that, man, because he's hot Cheetos, man. When you get a craving for hot Cheetos, there is no substitute.
And listen, we all know teachers do not make nearly enough that they should. They're buying all sorts of stuff for their classroom out of their own pocket. Mm-hmm. Good for this teacher to put it back into supplies. By the way, you guys, this is from Renee's mom.
Mm-hmm.
She loves them. Every time I go out, she says, bring me back some hot Takis. Bring me back some hot chips. I want to make her happy, so I brought them back. She was eating big bags and would take them to school with her.
Wow.
They're the big bags.
Oh, my God.
4 of those.
Renee.
Well, here's what I know. For lunch today, I'm having hot Cheetos and then finishing it off with some Neckos. Oh, my God. That's what a meal. Oh.
Wow.
Bitter, predictable, whining disc jockeys. It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
There's a lot of people that have different ideas on what the flat earth is. But what one thing we all agree on is that we don't live on a spinning ball flying through infinite space.
Obviously. Do you feel yourself spinning, wobbling, gyrating? No, I'm pretty rock solid.
we always say, don't believe us. Do your own research. But unless you know there's a question, you're not going to do the research.
Right?
Right. What that guy said. Yes.
Look, I have for many years been deeply in love with Megan Holliday, who does nights here at K-Rock 7 and 11. But I may love her even more now than I did before when I realized that she is a goddamn conspiracy theorist and she's the most gullible woman in the world. She'll believe anything. Megan, what are you doing? What are you doing?
What is happening with you?
Good morning. How's it still on? Is it still on K-Rock?
That's a great question.
I know. We're as shocked as you are. So your thing, and Megan Holliday, by the way, in addition to her nighttime show at K-Rock, she has a wonderful podcast where she interviews interesting people. It's called 7 Words with Megan Holliday, available wherever you get your podcast.
It's really short, though.
No. This podcast is not 7 words long. Oh. That's just the name of it.
My bad.
So the most recent episode, she has on a conspiracy theorist, the guy who runs his own podcast about conspiracy. And it just seems like you are not just I want to believe, you just refuse to accept that any answer has been definitively agreed upon. Like, all things are still open to you, right?
I would say that I like to consider it all. I would not say that I am fully convinced of any one thing, but I like to consider all things.
But aren't there things like the flat Earth that pretty much are 100% disproven by science?
Yeah, I'm definitely not like a flat earther or anything like that.
Those guys are crazy.
But I can understand why people might, you know, feel that way because
that's where we disagree, Megan. You can't understand why people could feel that way. It's been understood for millennia that the Earth is round. There's no time now for somebody to go, it's not, because it just is.
I think what people get into is that they think like, well, we're just taking people's word. We're taking scientists' word. We're just believing everything that we're told. But I understand.
I mean, at some point,
sounds insane.
At some point, you do have to accept somebody else as an authority on some topic.
Right.
And maybe people who have been to space and have photographed a round Earth are the people you should look at as definitive proof.
Have they been?
Yeah.
Have they been in space?
Okay.
Have
and
they?
Speaking of that, Megan, true or false?
Thank you, Conspiracy Alley.
You're welcome.
Yes, and Conspiracy Megan, true or false that you still have at least some doubt in your mind about the granddaddy of all conspiracy theories, which is that man faked his landing on the moon?
Yes, I do have doubts about that.
What is wrong with you?
You're a miracle.
You're a miracle. How? Why? What? Who? Please explain.
I don't know. You start going down these rabbit holes and I don't know. Like, there's rumors that, you know, Stanley Kubrick directed it, that you can actually see, like, a Coke can fly, like, go by in the footage of it, like, on the ground. That there's wind blowing, that there's not really, you know, wind on the moon.
This is the best.
I know.
But what about all the people who have been to the moon? What about the people who have stood on the moon?
Oh, yeah, like they did that.
What? Yes, Hallie, they have.
Have they? Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure that they, you know, were paid a lot of money to go and do, you know, and act this out and just pretend like this thing happened.
Let me give you a reverse argument. If...
Okay.
If man didn't go to the moon, so many people would have to have been in on that. In our government, in NASA, everywhere, there's so many people that would have to have been in on it. And there's no way that many people could be involved and no leaks, no anything. It's just we're not capable of that.
Cigarette smoking man, though.
And right. And it's, you know, and it's possible that we did go too, you know, but
it's possible.
Dude.
It's possible.
She's got an open mind, guys.
They've lost like all of the data, you know, from the moon landings. And my question is like, why have we not gone back? You know,
right?
We have gone back. We went back Apollo 12, Apollo 14, Apollo 15, Apollo 16, and Apollo 17.
But what
we went
about
back.
18? How come no 18?
Well, because they do it. No, but they went back. They went six times, Megan. If you're going to fake the moon landing in 1969, why do you then take the risk of faking it five more times?
But they didn't walk around out there all willy nilly again.
They did. They played golf and they
took
the lunar rover. Okay.
The Coke can that flew by, right? Right?
Megan, there's so much evidence. Admit to me that we've been to the moon.
I'm not going to admit it, but I will say that we probably have.
Okay.
What about gold?
What about gold?
Yeah, let's
not. What about gold?
What about gold? Okay. Okay, here's where I'm at with gold. Is that, you know, and I was thinking this independently before I even did any research, was like, why is gold the standard? Why is it not diamonds, rubies? Like, why is it gold?
What do you mean gold the standard? What do you mean?
Why was gold, like, why were economies based around gold?
Okay, and what answer did you find?
So, well, and, you know, and why do we turn it into bricks and all that stuff? And so so I thought, like, maybe that we, you know, exchange gold with these aliens for technology.
I'm out.
And
I'm in. Keep going.
I'm way in.
And what I found is that aliens actually, the Anunnaki actually used gold in their atmosphere to reflect the sun's rays.
I'm sorry, who?
Their planet.
Who does?
Who's Annie? Auntie Oakley?
They're from Planet X.
From Planet X,
and
okay.
Is like, which is you know, planet that NASA is saying is like possibly a planet.
Okay.
Okay.
So we trade gold with them for technology?
Well, that's my own little spin on it, is that, you know, yeah, that possibly we trade gold for information and technology.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
You're a miracle.
So because gold is valuable, you somehow have whipped that up into we are exchanging it with aliens.
Yeah, well, just like, why did we decide gold? Like, why did we need
because
gold?
Because it's rare.
It's a rare, yeah.
And it's pretty, and it is it's easily malleable. That's why.
Just like Megan Holliday.
Apparently so. All right, Megan, you need to hold on. We want to invite our listeners to call in with their conspiracy theories. And Megan, we'd like to have you on as our conspiracy theorist expert to let us know what you think about our listeners' conspiracy theories. How about that?
I'm in.
I'm guessing she'll love them all.
What's your conspiracy theory? We'll discuss with Kevin and Bean and Megan Holliday next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
We were very excited recently to find out that our friend Megan Holliday is crazy.
Well, we knew she was crazy, but now we know she's crazy in a completely different way.
Right.
She is a conspiracy theorist. Megan Holliday does evening show here at K-Rock, 7 to 11, and weeknights. And I got a couple of responses to your last segment here, Megan. One is Scott says, Megan Holliday, born and raised in the 909. That's all the explanation you need.
From Rancho Cucamonga, where the kooks are from.
Okay. Brad writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean. So this woman believes we've been trading gold with aliens from a secret planet for hundreds of years in exchange for technology, but we lack the capability to and have never been to the moon? You know what? That's an interesting point. Why is one so easy and one so hard, Megan?
Because the aliens do all the work, Bean. They come here and they ask for gold.
Oh, I see.
True. Here's, okay. Here's the thing.
Yeah, they're not going to let us go to the moon.
If you follow...
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, wow. Megan, I was giving you an out. And then you bust in with that. But if you follow Megan Holliday on Instagram and you see her Instagram stories, there's not a lot going on at the studio. On her shift, 7 p.m. to 11.
Right.
Her mind wanders.
Okay.
I fear that that's where this might be coming from. She needs someone in here with her.
I see.
And Megan needs friends. Okay, I got you.
Something.
All right. Let's start with Ronnie. He's up first. Line one, please, in Chino.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for calling and for holding on. Our friend Megan is with us as well. What do you have to offer?
Well, first of all, we have been to the moon. I mean.
Oh, okay.
That's just facts. But, right. But, this might be off the topic, but it's just, you know, about Mayans. You know, you wonder, why isn't there any Mayans to this day, you know? And it's just the way I feel like the aliens probably abducted them, because to this day, there's not one trace of a Mayan, but yet the temples that they built just with water and mud still stand to this day. And they were so smart. They used to read the stars and predict what was going to happen just by reading the stars.
I just don't think Kurt Sutter is done writing the script and everything yet and filming it.
No. We're not talking about the TV show, The Mayans. We're talking about the actual ancient Mayan people.
Gotcha. My bad.
But hold on a second, because I've not heard of this before. You're telling me there is no such thing as a Mayan bloodline? There aren't people alive today who have descended from the Mayans?
Yes, there is not any trace of Mayans. They all disappeared. They've vanished. And
okay.
It's weird, you know?
If that's true, that's weird.
Yeah, right?
Megan, have you heard anything about that? You know anything about the Mayans?
Well, I've been to Peru. I've seen the Nazca lines. I've been to Machu Picchu, and it's an absolute trip. I can't verify that there's, you know, there's no more bloodlines of Mayans.
Right, but you're willing to believe that.
Well, I am willing to believe
okay.
that.
I mean, that's like Belize, El Salvador, all down there. There's got to be descendants from the Mayan people. It's got to.
Ronnie, according to Ronnie.
Ronnie, what kind of information do you have that makes you think there are no descendants?
Well, it's just I looked it up online, did a little research before, and I can't,
Look, if it's on Wikipedia, it's true. We all agree with that, right? Because no one can change Wikipedia.
Right.
Okay.
All right. By the way, who are the descendants of the Maya? Today, there are currently an estimated 20 to 30 million direct descendants of the ancient civilizations. Mm.
Also online, Ronnie, what do you think of that?
So,
I think that's phony baloney. I don't believe
That's right. I'm with Ronnie, by the way.
Well, Ronnie believes what he saw online.
Okay. All right.
Megan, you had on your most recent podcast, you had a conspiracy theorist guest who seemed to convince you very easily that Drake killed XXXTentacion. Are you still believing that's the case?
So when I was talking with Sam Tripoli, I was just like taking it in. I was just like, yeah. But I'm like, I have no idea. I haven't looked into that at all.
Okay, how about he also seemed to convince you that General Motors bought the mass transit system in Los Angeles and moved it to Mexico City so that people would have to buy more cars in L.A.?
Yeah, he did tell me that, and I was like, okay.
I like that Megan's talking about conspiracy theories, and she does no research.
No.
And then she's like, sounds good to me.
All right, let's try one more. Let's make it to Los Angeles. Jeff, line 3 up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jeff.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good. Conspiracy theories.
Okay. So I've been a targeted individual for 16 years.
What's a targeted individual, please?
I'd rather you Google it, but in a nutshell.
I'd rather you tell us. We're doing a radio show, and it involves
audio.
Hold on.
Everybody Google. Let's just be quiet for a minute.
So I've explained it so many times, and it's so hard.
But not to us.
We're sorry to put you... We're sorry to put you in this position, but just tell us what the F it is.
Did we call you, by the way? Let me check that, too, while we're at it.
So 16 years ago, I felt it's called the first part of it is being under surveillance.
Okay.
So it seemed as if I was being followed. I actually asked someone. They wound up saying someone is very interested in everything you do.
Who was that someone? Just a friend?
I couldn't even begin to tell you that there's so much involved in the pockets.
All right, Jeff, hang on one sec.
I'm all in with Jeff.
Jeff, hang on one sec. Hey, Megan?
Yes.
This is what you sound like to other people.
Yeah. Well, first I tell Jeff, to put down the meth pipe, and then it's going to be okay.
Wow, when Megan Holliday is squashing your conspiracy theory, you know you've got to help.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
We don't do this very often. Usually when one of us has gone on a vacation, as we both were recently, we don't ever hear anything from the show the week we were gone. I don't know about you, Kevin, but it's too depressing for me.
Depressing.
Depressing. Too depressing.
Why is it depressing?
The world goes on without you?
Yeah. What?
It's not that. It's just that I always wish I had been there. I'm always sad that I missed something. You know what I mean? And I think, I would have loved to have been able to be a part of that conversation in something. So it gets me down.
You and I are very different.
Yeah, I know we are.
That's so weird.
So the reason I bring all that up is to say something happened while Kevin was on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and we totally forgot about it. We never told him about it. He never heard about it. And I think it's something that's worth us revisiting here on today's show because I would like to get his reaction to it.
Mm.
Now, Kevin, you remember we're in this new building now, Mid-Wilshire. Mm-hmm. You remember the final day over at the Venice Studios.
I do.
Venice and Fairfax. It was kind of a story in local media because radio had been operating out of that building for decades, and KNX sent a reporter over. Now, do you remember doing an interview with a KNX reporter?
Just barely.
I mean, now that you're going to replay it, I was thinking, do I remember anything? How did I screw up on this one?
You didn't screw up. You were terrific. Okay. Oh. So let's hear a little bit of the piece. We'll stop it along the way. So this was the final day at the old K-Rock studio before we moved.
The end of an era today.
Hold on. What was that?
I'm sorry.
That on your end?
I thought it was on my end.
No, I got it.
Okay.
Here we go.
The end of an era today in this building that has been home to some of LA's biggest radio stations over the years. Let's get the story live from KNX 1070's Craig Figner.
It's a building a lot of people have probably driven past at Fairfax and Venice. Jack FM always made fun of it, calling it a dumpy little building. But it has been a significant radio property in Los Angeles since the days of KHJ in the 1930s.
By the way, that means Rick Dees worked in that building, by the way.
All right.
KHJ.
I knew there was magic there.
Now, Jensen, I wasn't there that day. They did the final interview, but the KNX reporter showed up, and he was wearing the hat with the little press sign in the front of it, right?
Yeah, and kept saying, you see? Which was weird. Yeah. And also traveling with a photographer that had one of those light things behind him. So it was strange.
Yeah.
All right. Weird. He's getting to Kevin.
This was its transmitter site, later its studios. And for 17 years, it's also been home to K-Rock. Tonight, they'll turn out the lights. Kevin Ryder of the Kevin and Bean Show tells me it is a tough day.
I just am sort of bummed to leave this little dump that has been our home for 17 years.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, what's your question? What happened?
Nothing. You're just doing the interview.
You're just doing an interview.
Yeah.
It sounds like slowed down.
Huh?
No, that's you. That's how you sound.
Yeah.
What? But then we've had a lot of really great times here. We've had a lot of good guests in the HD Radio Sound Space over there. We've done breakfast with Foo Fighters.
I feel like it's slower than I normally talk.
That's how you talk.
That's what you hear when...
Yeah.
Well, I think you were celebrating a little bit that morning, too. Oh. I think there may have a little bit of tipping back, perhaps, contributed. But this is Vintage Sounds.
And with so many different bands, with Sting... and with Jack White, and I mean,
why would you guess Sting was the first name?
I was curious about that too.
Out of all the bands that have been there, why do I go with Sting?
I was wondering about that. But it's a miracle you're even speaking English at this point. I mean, listen to you.
Many great memories of bands coming here and this sort of being the hub for K-Rock. And
by the way, you had a lot to say, too.
I mean, it seems like I'm saying it rather slowly.
No. This is like when you hear yourself on your answering machine.
And it just sounds all different.
That's me?
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
The bands that we play.
And the hub for so many stations over the course of 80 years. Yeah. We're talking about, K-Earth, KHJ, Amp Radio, Jack FM.
You know, and terrorists. situations or UFOs.
K-Rock joins us at Wilshire and Hauser on LA's Miracle Mile. As for this building,
it must be alien. You don't know. This may be a question that we'll never know the answer to.
Live in Culver City, Craig Figner, KNX 1070 News Radio.
I thought it sounded weird.
No.
Not to you guys?
No.
You did a terrific job.
Be proud.
Be proud, okay?
You're not doing good so far.
So far.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
You're not doing good.
On K-Rock. K-Rock.
All right, Jensen Karpis here. Sorry, I was talking about your Twitter.
Thank God, not just calling me Quan out of nowhere.
Let's talk about the new feature that we got. What's it called?
Well, it's got a very catchy name.
Okay.
I found it on YouTube.
I found this.
On YouTube, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. On YouTube, do-do-do-do-do-do. On YouTube, do-do-do-do-do-do. On YouTube.
All right, the theme song made it.
I love it.
You doubted it.
I now love it.
Oh, really? It's quite a comeback for that name. This week, I was in just a total spiral on YouTube.com.
Okay.
And I found something that I think means a ton to society.
Wow. That's a bold claim.
Oh, gosh. I watched hours and hours and hours of it this weekend. His name is John, but he goes by Report of the Week. He'll say it.
That's his name?
That's what he goes by. And he has an aura of mystery surrounding him, so much so that we don't know his real last name.
Okay.
All we know is that he's somewhere in Central Florida. Now, his YouTube channel is called Report of the Week. That's how you'll find it. But he's often known as Review Bra.
Which, as what?
Review Bra? Like, what
like
a bra?
Bra?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a name given to him by the internet. Now he's taking it on. He has over 1 million subscribers, and arguably he's one of the most important food reviewers in the country.
Thank God we've got that.
That's right. You see, his reviews are of fast food items and energy drinks. And he might be, and this is just a feeling that I have, a creepy ghost time traveler.
Okay.
He could be 25 years old. He could be 13. He could be 65. You'll have no idea by his look. And he's very pale. He's a skinny boy man. He has a hair part sort of in the middle. He wears three-piece suits always, in his personal life, that are always just a little bit too big. I think the best way to be exposed to Report of the Week is to just listen to him. Here's his review of Taco Bell's nacho fries. It's important to know that he opens every single video with this same intro, and he's mostly sitting in his car. This is the first clip.
Hello, everyone. This is Running on Empty Food Review. Well, I'm over here at Taco Bell this morning, and while it might not be morning for you, it is for me. I got here at 9 a.m., and this is a major release. This is a huge release. Everyone's talking about it. You could find it. All the media is talking about it. There's the hype. Everyone's hyping it up. It's going crazy here. You could see the line already wrapped around the building.
There was no line.
No line
behind him.
Completely. He said they were going nuts.
Yeah, there's nothing going on.
Okay.
He always talks like a newsie.
Yeah, what's the accent he's got going on?
He might be from Mars. No one knows. Then we watch him silently eat nacho fries for about a minute. His feelings on a good fry is clip number two.
These fries do have a nice crispy firmness to them, which is good. That's what I look for in a fry. You know, you don't like the soggy fries when they're just, you know, floppity, they're flopping around.
Right.
It's no fun, of course, to eat. And, of course, you have to find that perfect middle ground where it has that firmness to it, but it's not overdone and it's not overburned.
Knows what he's talking about. Mm.
Now, you might be asking, who watches this?
Who watches this?
2.4 million people watched him eat those nacho fries.
Wow. So he is making not just a living, a great living.
Oh, he's making thousands, like tens of thousands of dollars a month. Yeah. A few other things you should know about Report of the Week or Review Bra. He's always drinking out of his own container, and it was recently revealed it's because he loves the water at Starbucks.
What?
He pays for the water at Starbucks because he says he's done tests and says that that's the best water.
I was at a Starbucks and somebody came in and got water and I was like, this is the weirdest. I went back and told my daughter, this is the craziest thing. So why would they come in and get water?
It might be because of Report of the Week. One other thing, he sleeps during the day and is awake throughout the night like a vampire.
Love it.
So like he falls asleep at 10, wakes up, sleeps all the way through. He lives with his parents. I know that's a shocker. He also has a cat, also a shocker. He's just started this in his early teens reviewing energy drinks. Here he tries cheese.
You know, I haven't been a fan of their nacho cheese, and I like the fries right now as they are. I don't think they need the nacho cheese, but there you can see a ceremonial dish full of nacho cheese. And we'll dip it in.
All right.
We'll see if it amplifies it, you know. Maybe it will.
Do you guys think it amplifies it?
I'm sorry. How many people?
That was 2.4 million on that one.
Okay, does it amplify it? Yes.
All right, let's see.
All right.
I would say the sauce isn't mandatory. Now, it comes with it anyway, whether you like it or not. It's up to you whether you want to use it or not.
He's right.
Okay.
He's definitely right.
I mean, he does have a point. It's up to me.
He also, Bean's going to love this. He has a short form radio show. So basically, you can go and listen to it. It's VORW that he broadcasts every single week. He has one of those shortwave radios.
Oh. Bean just came awake.
Yeah. It's a shortwave
radio. Go on.
And basically, if you're not in the year 1923, like Bean, you can get it on SoundCloud. But he basically plays old music and talks. He's just an old human being stuck in this young body.
I love him.
I have a shortwave radio, so
I'll be
problem picking that up.
It's very easy. Like any translucent man boy who looks like an anemic Clay Aiken, he gets trolls. This is him reading one of the troll comments on his YouTube.
Stingy. Salmon hair. Frog.
Donald Trump. Elf. Chin bleeper. TF eyebrows is this. Bony skin. Forehead big as my posterior. No offense. I'm not trying to be mean, but this is all true facts. But hey, I'm judging from the outside. He could actually be a pretty cool guy, so don't hate on me, guys.
Or my favorite clip, when he ate a Popeye sandwich, and it was the worst thing he said he's ever reviewed, and he said a sentence that I believe deserves true infamy.
My disappointment is immeasurable. And my day is ruined.
Listen, you can look him up. Report of the Week is his YouTube. He has over 600 videos online. Popeye's Ghost Pepper Wings, McDonald's Garlic White Cheddar Burger, Domino's Pan Pizza. Those are some of my favorites.
That's my king.
He's a god. He should be, literally, he should be worshipped at his throne. And that I found on YouTube.
I found this
on YouTube. Do. Yes!
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
Hey, Assistant Producer Christine.
Hey, guys.
You have a pop culture quiz for us. I'm very nervous because we always make fun of the contestants on our show, and now we're about to be contestants on our show.
Right.
Well, and also, I think I've learned from this quiz, and we're cutting this one in half, but what we like on the show is generally not what the consensus of the majority of people like in this world.
Oh, we learned that a long time ago.
Yeah. So I tried to pick the questions that I thought maybe you guys would be able to answer.
Okay.
But the other ones, I mean, involve things like Twilight and Harry Potter, which I love. But I was like, these guys aren't going to get any
of them. Come on, you took out the one I would get.
That's true. That would have been Kev Dog's question.
So my understanding is, Christine, that this is a pop culture quiz where you have a number at which the general public knows the answers to these questions. And you want to see how pop culture savvy we are, how we compare with other people. Okay.
This is a BuzzFeed quiz. So you
We'll give it a try.
Okay, good. All right. You guys ready?
We have a 15-second timer. So as soon as you're finished with the question, I'll start it.
Okay. This one in particular was for Kev Dog, but you'll all take it. You have 15 seconds to name all six main characters in Friends.
All right. We don't say it out loud. We just write it down. Yeah. Right? Okay. 15 seconds.
Done.
What?
Done.
What?
I don't know if you know this, Kevin, but it was a popular show for like a long time.
I got Rachel Ross and the Monkey. You guys clearly destroyed me.
The Monkey Marcel was not a main character.
I thought it was.
But I respect it.
Okay. I've got Monica Chandler, Phoebe.
Oh, wait. Are we doing this now?
Yeah.
Oh, are we?
I thought we were.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
I don't know. We're just making this up as we go.
I've got Monica Chandler, Phoebe, Joey, Rachel. Oh, I have Chandler twice, so I guess I don't have the ball.
Boom!
I have Ross as well.
And Ross would
six.
Have been the right one. All right. So I didn't write that one either.
So Allie's the only one who gets a point for that one.
Yes.
Nice. Yes.
All right. So next question, and this is one.
Are you going to tell us how the people do?
Oh, yeah.
No?
Sorry. What percentage? 77% of the population got all six.
Oh, so Kevin and I are dum-dums.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Okay.
You sure there weren't two Chandlers on the show?
Yeah, there were not, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
The next question is a really good indication of how most of our tastes do not sometimes gel with the general American public.
Yes.
Name all five Kardashian-Jenner sisters.
Oh, my God.
I know. Guarantee you more people can do that than probably name U.S. presidents, though.
Yeah.
So
I know I'm forgetting one of them.
Yeah, I am, too.
What is her name, that little mix?
Yeah.
What'd you put down now, Allie?
I put Kylie, Kendall, Kim, Chloe, and the normal one.
It's close.
I can't remember her name, though.
I only got Chloe and Kim. Bean?
I had Chloe, Kim, Kylie, Courtney, and Kyrie.
Oh, Kendall. Yeah, you were.
Yeah. I forgot Kendall, and it sounds like you forgot Courtney.
Courtney, I think.
So none of us got that?
So
none of us got
points.
That.
Okay. And damn it. The sad thing is that 75% of people who took this, all five.
Oof. Okay.
All five. I forgot Kendall, and she's hot, too.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, you guys. The next one, again, maybe not in our wheelhouse, but.
All right.
First names of the original five members of One Direction.
Oh, crap.
Oh, okay. Oh, come on.
Bean, don't pretend like you don't know this.
I don't. I'm not coming up with all of them, I'll tell you that.
Mm. I got right. Harry, Biff, Sonny, Larry, and Adam.
Kevin got one.
I got one. I had Zane.
Yep.
Louie.
Yep.
Harry.
Yep.
Paul.
Nope.
And Ringo.
That was three, Bean.
Allie.
I got three.
I have Liam.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
Harry.
Leo.
Uh-huh.
Manny, Mo, and Jack.
So, none of us.
None of us. Well, again, 60% of the people who took this got all five.
All right, so far, Allie is in the lead with one to none.
Who did we forget?
You guys, it is Louie, uh-huh. Liam, Zane, Harry, and Niall.
Niall.
We could have sat here all day and never come up with Niall.
All right.
All right, this one is obviously for Allie. Name the three original Star Wars movies. You don't have to use the word episode in it.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's the easiest one yet. I'm way done.
Done. Uh-huh.
How's everyone doing out there?
Taking a nap there, Allie?
I got two, but I was having problems with the third one. I was.
Allie, you want to go first on this one? You're the Star Wars queen.
Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
Wait a minute. I thought it was New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
That's what
I thought. Yes, that's Star Wars. And then it was all of a sudden called A New Hope.
Oh.
It was always Star Wars.
All right. Okay. Will you allow it, Christine?
Yes!
Will you allow Star Wars? Okay, all right. So Allie and I both got them. Kevin, how'd you do?
I didn't. I got Return of the Empire.
Oh my God, unless, Kevin.
You guys going to accept that one?
No, here's the thing. I was so sad looking at this quiz because, first of all, the majority of people got that One Direction question.
Okay.
The majority of people got that Kardashian question.
All right.
49% of people who took this got zero.
Oh, no.
Zero?
Yeah, zero out of three. Only 26% of people got all three.
Wow.
We are so not in line with...
So Allie got that one, too?
The rest of the people in the world, I guess.
And I got a point on that one, too.
Yeah. Did you? Okay. You guys both got a point.
So Allie has two, Bean has one.
All right. This is the last one. And actually, I think this might appeal to you, KevDog.
All right.
All right. Last question is, name the three highest grossing movies of 2018 so far.
Oh, come on now. It's September. How are we supposed to remember what came out?
Well, I mean, these are big movies, so...
I got Avengers, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Black Panther.
Avengers.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Is there a colon continuation of that?
Sure, but that doesn't matter, really.
Okay.
I mean, that's the basis of the title. And Black Panther.
Black Panther.
What did you guys get?
I got Incredibles, Black Panther, and then the one where you turn into dust. And is that Avengers?
That's Avengers,
yes. And Avengers.
I'm not sure the one you turn into dust counts, though.
But sure, turn into dust.
I had no Avengers. I only came up with two, and they were Black Panther and Deadpool 2.
All right. I think you guys all got zero.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, not zero. You didn't get a point because the answers are Infinity War. So...
That's
Kevin
Avengers.
And Allie got
Kevin
it,
gets
right?
That's Avengers. Right. Yeah.
Black Panther.
Yeah.
Both you guys, all three of you guys got that one. And Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Okay.
It's really shocking how we literally don't have the same taste as most everybody in this world. That's so weird.
We literally don't know anything.
Yeah.
I think is what we're finding out here.
Gentlemen, I don't mind telling you, I've never heard a bigger crock of bull crap in my life.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
We have talked about this from time to time on the Kevin and Bean Show. These professional cuddlers, you pay them money. We had a story. This was a big thing in New York City last year. Remember, we did a series of stories about that. You pay them money and you go and they hold you and it makes you feel better. And there are a lot of different people in this business, but there's one in the news right now that we saw in the Daily Mail. And it is unusual for a couple of reasons. And not only does she have a couple of reasons why she shouldn't be cuddling people, she's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And look, attractive women can do any job they want. I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying she's so hot she shouldn't be able to do this if this is what she does. I'm saying, how does it not go wrong 98% of the time when she's cuddling dudes?
'Cause men.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause men.
Because men.
Yeah.
Right.
She makes $57,000 a year just cuddling. Nothing else. Not a euphemism. This is not a sex thing. She's a married mother of three.
got a very supportive husband in this business. Let's hear a little bit from her. I think she's Australian, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. Let's hear what she has to say about it. And that's just not playing. Hang on, am I playing the wrong? On drugs. On drugs.
Oh, no.
Hi, my name is Jessica O'Neill, and I am a massage and cuddle therapist. For me, myself, I run three different types of cuddle therapy services. Every cuddle therapist will have a different style. The first session that you can do is a 1 hour long session, and we call it straight up hugs. This is for people who would just like to try the therapy. Maybe they're interested in what the benefits may be, or maybe you just want to be held.
Okay.
This seems sad to me.
Yeah.
Because you're going to a total stranger.
For intimacy.
Yes.
An hour of cuddling, by the way, seems like, look, I get the therapeutic benefit of a hug. It feels good to be hugged.
From someone you know.
Yes, from someone you know. But 5 minutes in, how is it not just awkward?
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long 10 minutes, that's a half an hour.
Yeah, because even after like a hug with a friend for 3 seconds, you're like, you do a little tap on the back, like, we're done.
All right.
Let's move
on. Let's break this up.
Okay.
And I guess, I mean, you couldn't just lay there in silence, right? Unless you're weeping. That's the only.
Oh, no.
Wow. I mean, how do you make that so sad already?
No, but I'm saying what you're saying. If you're going for this, if you're paying money to have a stranger hug you, you've got to be sad, I would think, going in.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
And at some point, you start talking. And, of course, once you get into the therapy aspect of it, that starts to cost more.
Then the next level of cuddle therapy that I offer is cuddles and counseling. And this is where people want to work on a particular subject. So something that people might be going through that they really want help with and they really want to work through. We have a little bit of a chat and then we cuddle. And while we're cuddling, we work through more of the topic that the client wants to work through.
Now, do you think this is for people who are intimidated by the classic setup of a psychiatrist's office where they don't want to be the person laying on the couch or sitting in a chair in an office setting talking to somebody? Is it easier if you don't have to make eye contact, if you're cuddled up against each other, and it's almost like pillow talk? Do you think that's what they're going for here?
I think it's almost like a false sense of intimacy, so you let your guard down more with her.
It could be.
How would you feel, Kevin,
did you say that she was a therapist at the beginning or no?
Massage therapist. Is
she
also a counselor?
She's talking like she does therapy. Yeah.
You know what? That's very interesting. It doesn't say that she is a certified therapist. Maybe she's just a good listener and has good advice. Or maybe she's just so hot people don't care what she says. I don't know. Now, Kevin, are you man enough that if your wife came to you and said, I am going to start offering cuddle therapy out of the house and I'm going to have people coming over, most of whom are going to be men?
No, that wouldn't be weird.
I'm just going to lay down and cuddle with them all day, every day, and get paid for it. Would you be cool with it?
I am. No.
Her husband, Jason, 34, does not mind her profession at all, despite the fact that most of her clients are men. He's very supportive. He completely gets it. He loves what I do. He thinks it's really beautiful. He is also super affectionate, and he gives me cuddles at home. Our relationship is what makes me strong, she said.
I'd like to talk to him away from her.
You know what would be awesome? What if she's like, I don't bring my work home. Don't cuddle me, Jason. No.
Seriously, can I get off the clock? All right, a little bit more from our cuddle therapist in Australia.
Then I also provide cuddles and coffee. And this is more of a friendship-based session where I don't counsel you through anything. It's more of a sounding board for you. I don't try to fix anything. We just chat as friends.
This is the weirdest one of all because this is not her giving back and telling you how to fix what's on your mind, how to help you. She's just a sounding board. It's just if you want somebody to rant at while you sit there over a cup of coffee, this is because you don't have any friends. This one, right?
Yeah, I would think so, because she says now we're working into the friends. No, you're not.
Mm-mm.
That's odd.
And it's also kind of counter to what little I know about professional therapists is they don't ever want you to think of them as friends, right?
No.
I mean, that kind of is crossing a line a little bit.
That goes against everything.
Right, that's what I would think too. All right, just a little bit more.
And then I hold you and cuddle you through all of the things that you're going through in just a friendship kind of way. So, for me, cuddle therapy is extraordinary because it brings about change really, really quickly, and it helps people to move through the negativity and into the positivity far faster than any therapy that I've ever experienced.
It brings something around really quickly, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I sort of have a boner.
She says, by the way, that she has had, quote, one or two awkward experiences, but insists that 99% of her clients are very well behaved.
All right, let me ask you a question about that. She's exaggerating, right?
99?
Yeah.
There has to be way less than 99%.
I mean,
that are behaving.
Yes,
yeah.
That are behaving.
Yeah. I mean, I
because we know people.
Yeah.
Right. I would think more than that would at least try to get a little handsy because of that intimacy that they've created in their mind that I'm laying down with this person and we're close.
Yeah.
You know? I don't like it, you guys.
I don't.
And I also love
either.
It.
Oh.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
K-R-O-Q.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.